I've been reflecting on some things of this last few weeks about what the Holy Spirit, what God the Holy Spirit has been doing amongst us as a church family. And during this time this morning, I just want to share some stories about what he's been doing. I'm going to also be looking at John chapter 7, which is a writing by John, one of the followers of Jesus, one of the eyewitnesses who recorded some of the things that Jesus did and said. And so I'll be looking at John chapter 7. If you have Bibles, you're very welcome to turn there with me in a second. But we believe as a church family that not only, as Josh mentioned earlier, that God exists, that he's the rewarder of those who seek him, but this God is a God who speaks. Yeah. We believe that overwhelmingly because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And if Jesus is alive, as we believe he is, as we believe there is evidence to show and prove that we have the simple faith that if Jesus is alive, then he wants to speak to us. Yes, that's right. And so over the last few weeks and months, we've been listening to something that God has been saying to us. Overwhelmingly and primarily, God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. It is a light for our souls. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, but you're not reading the Bible, you're not going to hear what God is saying to you. You will be missing something. It is integral for you to be people of the Bible. But he also speaks through people, through circumstances, and through his gifts. Just before Christmas, anyone believe that? Yes, that God speaks to us. Last year we were told that by the Holy Spirit that he was going to do something fresh amongst us as a church family. That freshness would feel like you smell a freshly brewed coffee, or you get into a freshly made bed, you know, with new crisp sheets. Ooh, that lovely feeling. It's going to feel something like that. And at the beginning of this year, the Holy Spirit spoke to us, telling us that he was about to release a variety of spiritual gifts among us that would edify and help us. Both of those things have and are happening. At the commencement of our last two leaders' meetings, not to break any confidence, but at the commencement of them, we've started our time together sharing good news stories. Going around the room, listening to what we've heard that God has done amongst us. And so we've gone person to person around the room sharing these good news stories. And then at the end of our time, at the end of that sharing, we give God thanks. It's important to give him thanks. Yeah. On this last Monday as we did that bit of our leaders meeting took us 90 minutes to do. 90 minutes of us going from person to person, sharing some of the great news stories that God is doing amongst us. And I get the fact that we can't all hear them all the time. We can't. But I'm just saying this morning, I'm going to share some of them, that this God is doing marvelous things. So I'd like to share some of those 90 minutes, not all of them, but some of them this morning. Anyone want to hear some good news stories? Yeah. Fantastic. Before I do that, I want to share with you then what Jesus wants to do in our lives in light of these things. John chapter 7, verse 37 helps us to understand this. It helps us to understand, wherever you are in a journey of faith or not, that this Jesus who claimed to be God, who died on a Roman cross and the Bible tells us rose again, this Jesus is interested in your life and my life in an unparalleled way. He's so interested. He loves you and me so incredibly that he knew that we were broken, dead, defeated, and enslaved by the thing called sin in our lives, that God loved us so much to send Jesus to rescue us. Rescue us when we didn't know about it, when we didn't want it. He came to rescue us anyway. And he offers us and invites us to faith and trust in him, and that in doing so, turning towards him, he both forgives us and restores to us a relationship with God that we never knew we could have. That's what he does. He does it really simply to each of us, but that's what he does. He comes to restore us to a relationship with God. And he wants to do something that sounds strange, but when you recognize what it is, it impacts us. He wants all life, all of us, all of our lives. He wants to take our lives and focus their attention on himself. He doesn't do that because he's arrogant or vain or proud or selfish. He wants to do it because we are made to know God. And that in knowing him intimately, in friendship, in right relationship, our lives are dramatically and utterly changed and kept on being changing. There's like an estrangement of a relationship between us and God that Jesus and Jesus only could bridge that gap. And that so by trusting in Jesus, the estrangement between a relationship with God and our lives is bridged. We get to know God. We get to know him. And that in that restoration, then Jesus helps us to restore relationships with others around us as well. Does it incredibly. This, when I'm talking about restoring a relationship, I'm not talking about like, I don't know, restoring a relationship with great Aunt Maud, who comes to visit at Christmas and kisses us on our cheek and leaves a bit of lipstick. It's not like a nice, warm, cuddly type of thing. It's a relationship with God. With a God who creates and sustains and empowers. With a God that forgives, that changes. Anyone know that you become like the people you hang around with? Anyone know that? So we are so influenced by our peers that when we hang around with certain people, we become what they're like. Yeah? So if, I don't know, like if you hang around with people, there's a few of them around that are infectiously bubbly. Do you know, like the brilliant bubbly types that, cup is not just half full, it is flowing over, that type of person. You hang around with them long enough, what happens? You become a bit like, some of you, even the morose among you, could become a little bubbly. The opposite is true, of course. What happens when, we all know it, when we hang around with people who just, like Eeyore. Like, it's sunny outside, but not inside my heart. When you hang around with those people, do you know what happens? Suddenly, the brightness of the day just like clouds over. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You become like who you hang around with. Jesus promised us a relationship with God. Do you know what happens if you start hanging around with God? You start to become like him. Just as naturally as you would around the bubbly type or the Eeyore type, you start being active in relationship with this God. He infects us and changes us so much that we become a little more like him. In his love, we receive something of his love and we find it easier to share his love in ways that before that was never possible. We receive something of his forgiveness, knowing that I'm forgiven. So of course it's much easier for me to forgive those that hurt me. We receive something of his grace and his truth that helps us live our lives in such a way that keeps us from just blowing it again and again and again. And by doing that, receiving that, something of that truth, we're able to show what it's like to live in relationship with God with others. It's miraculous. It's marvelous. That's what he does. John chapter 7, verse 37 says this. Let me give you a little bit of context. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's there for something called the Feast of Tabernacles, the Festival of Tabernacles. It's one of a major feasts, like a big party type thing, that God enacted to his people, the children of Israel, way, way, way back, thousands of years earlier, when they had been miraculously saved from enslavement in Egypt and brought to the promises of God. God loved them so much that he wanted to take his people that he had promised something to, take them out of the bondage and the degradation of slavery, of ownership to another master. and bring them out, free them from everything, so that they could live only in the promises of God. Because they're people, they blow it on the journey. They come so close and they say, actually, I don't know if I really want this. And both David and Stephen over the last couple of weeks helped us to understand what that looked like. And so they went, this journey took them 40 years. And during that time, they lived in tents, obviously. They were on the move towards a different land. And so this Feast of Tabernacles was there to remind them of that. They went home for a week. You know, like sometimes you go glamping for a week, or caravanning, or camping with tents. No. It's nothing like that at all. You, yeah, some of us, no way. Hotel, maybe 4-star, but that'll be as low as we go. Well, this is them bringing, everyone would be staying literally in little shacks, in tabernacles, in tents, as a reminder and a memorial of the faithfulness of God. That when he says something wanting to free you and to release you to his promises, he's going to be faithful to keep that promise.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank
you. He's going to be faithful for that. So they're living in this tent just to remind themselves of these things. But also the context, Jesus is there at great personal risk. He has said some things and done some things that have freaked the leaders of both the religion and the politics out. He's done things that he's claimed to be God. That doesn't go down well in a nation that thinks they know God. And so he is at great personal risk. Already in the chapter, they have threatened to kill him, beat him, take him. And so he's at great personal risk. But he stands, verse 37 of John chapter 7 says this. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice. So let me just reemphasize, great personal risk, threat to life. But for the benefit of others, Jesus takes personal risk for the benefit of others and says these things. Let me just emphasize, you become who you hang around with. So at great personal risk, for the benefit of others, Jesus dares to open his mouth. And he says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them, out of them. Verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus stands, verse 37, if you can please, Dan. Jesus stands and says, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. This isn't some sort of like, I don't know, Coca-Cola vending machine type salesman. John helps us to understand what he's saying. He's using the image of water to talk about God, the Holy Spirit. He's saying, look, if anyone is thirsty, thirsty for what? Thirsty for what you and I know to be true, the deep longing of our souls, that there is eternity within us, that there is something out there. I can't put my finger, but I feel frightened. I feel alone. I feel a lack of meaning. There, I heard on the radio yesterday that the soundtrack to most of our lives is shame. And so Jesus is saying, if you feel like that, if you feel, you know, you want to know what it is to just be satisfied at the very base of our soul, then come to me. You want to know what it is to find truth and life and grace and power and change. You want to know what it feels like to be utterly satisfied in the way no one else can. And we pretend that they can, but we know that they can't. He makes this bold statement, you come to me. You come to me. Anyone's thirsty, let them come. He doesn't finish there. He goes on with the analogy, verse 38. He says, and in coming to me, in receiving of this satisfaction that changes who we are, is coming to me who is God and Lord and truth. If by coming to me and receiving from me, well, from your very being then, will flow from you. An influence, a dynamic, as you receive something from God, something's going to flow from you that is going to touch other people. Amazing. Authorized version says, out of your bellies will flow living water. From your very gut, God's going to come in and you're going to receive something from him so deeply, so satisfying that nothing within you can stop. Something's going to so deep flow from you to touch other people. It's pretty good, isn't it? Who's this for? Some elite? Some sort of grand Christian that have, you know, sackcloth and ashes that float on a cloud? No, first two words, whoever believes. Any whoever's here? Look around, see there's a whoever in the room. Whoever believes. Whoever believes in receiving something from God through Jesus Christ, because he makes no bones about it, you will remain thirsty, unsatisfied, yeah, that's right. Unless you come to him.
That's right. That's so good.
Knock yourself out. But that's what he says. But by coming to him, wow. He changes us so much that then flowing from our ordinary whoever lives will flow rivers of living water that will touch and impact everyone else around us. So as I'm receiving something, I keep on coming to Jesus. God, I need your love. I receive something of his love flowing from me, from my belly, will be love to other people. Forgiveness flows to other people. Mercy flows to other people. Power flows to other people. Power. All of these things happen as we come to Jesus. He's saying that he is the source of living water that you'll drink through faith just by coming to him. He says, come to me. It's a great... John's gospel is written in the Greek language. And that Greek word come that he uses there, come to me, is a present participle. By that means Jesus saying, come and keep on coming. Come and keep on coming. This is a message for some of us who are followers of Jesus and have been for a while. I don't know if it's true about all of you, but certainly it is in my life, that there have been times in my journey I've come to Jesus and I've received something just magnificent. I know something of his love, of his peace, of his truth. But I've sort of felt like I can bottle that up. Yes, this is for me. I've received peace that no one else can possibly... I received it. I feel meaning and purpose and call. And I bottle this up, so I'm just going to like, yes, this is for me. And I've sort of like held on to it. So when people say, come to Jesus, I'm like, well, I've got all I've got. I found that when I've done that, my following of Jesus has stalled. Has stalled there. Some of us in this room think that you can just come to Jesus for your salvation and think, oh, that's marvelous. I'll just wait now. That's never how it's meant to be. Jesus has come to me and keep on coming to me. Because as you receive, it has to flow through you. I was going to use an orphan analogy then, but I won't. It has to flow through you. In a good way. let's just purify minds now, Lord. As you receive something from him, if you try to bottle it up, living water is never, ever, 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 ever meant to be given around in bottles. It's meant to flow from us to other people.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit cannot be stored up because he isn't just water in a bottle. He's the living God. He can't be stored up. His power must be used at the time of its supply in order that God will continually and regularly replenish you. Many of us don't take advantage of that because we think he gives us himself just for ourselves. We need to deal with that, some of us. Come to Jesus and you will know God and others will know God because of you. You'll know his love, others will know it. You'll know his forgiveness, others will know it. You'll know his truth, mercy, compassion, generosity. And because you've come to him, others will know those characteristics in and through you. Friends, this is not a process thing. It's not a work at it thing. It is the result of someone coming to Jesus, yes, and keeping on coming to Jesus, and you get to know his power and others will. It is a given. Jesus said, come to me all who are thirsty, and I'll give them I'll let them drink from me. Whoever believes in me will have to just work at this now for 20, 30 years in order for living water to flow. That's not what it says. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow. Will flow. Will flow. Want to hear some stories? I have the permission of all of those people involved, and so if you think that I'm just saying things that I shouldn't be, I've asked the permission for people who are involved in these stories about what God has been doing, what it looks like as people in our church family has been coming and kept on coming to Jesus, what they've experienced from him flowing in through them to others' lives as well. And so a few stories this morning. A few of us a few weeks ago will remember Hayley coming on this platform and telling us her story of being physically healed. Anyone remember that?
Yeah.
Hayley had suffered nerve damage in labour a few years ago. And she told us the story with Tina, her life group leader, that in life group one day, someone said, Hayley, I believe God wants to heal you. And so at the end of that time together, they prayed and they laid hands on her, as scripture says. And the next, sort of like on the way home, is pain gone? Getting up the next morning, usually gingerly, but pain had gone to a personal keep fit instructor. You know God's moved in your life. When you go to a personal keep fit, something's happened. Pain's gone. The nerve damage, pain, gone.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
That's magnificent, isn't it?
Thank you, Lord.
Her story continues. It's a marvellous story, and I'm grateful for the opportunity of seeing it. Hayley has also been praying that God would fill her in such a way that she would have the ability to speak in other tongues, as the Bible tells us. The ability of speaking in tongues or in other languages. The sort of thing that stretches one's faith, because you don't know what you're saying, largely. The thing that causes us to have our faith stretched, but also is a language of prayer and praise that the Bible tells us, maybe earthly languages, maybe angelic languages, who knows. But language that is used so that you can go beyond just our own learnt language and declare the praises of God. You know, like sometimes if you see something magnificent or someone you love or feeling that you want to describe it like, oh, that's great. That's magnificent. That's beautiful. Somehow the words just don't capture it, do they? Oh, you're like restricted. But this, the ability of God can come and just loose our tongues so we're speaking in praise language beyond our words. So Haley's been praying for that as we've been listening and learning through this in our small groups together. And one day she was driving home from life group said to me that she felt like the Holy Spirit was in the car with her. She'd been praying for this. Context too. During that period of time, that week leading up to this car journey, Hayley had been particularly praying solemnly, deeply, with great burden for a member of her family that God really needed to work in. And so she had been burdened. Do you know the type of way where you're just brought to tears because you're praying for someone? Hayley was experiencing that level of, oh, come on, Lord, please, for a family member. So she'd been praying, asking God for help on this, but also praying for the ability to speak in other tongues. And so as she's driving home in the car, she's praising and praying, and I trust the roads were fine, but she was praying and praising and started speaking a phrase that just came out of her lips. A phrase that she kept repeating and got all excited about. A phrase that she didn't know or learn. She just kept repeating this phrase, and another wordy phrase thing that she was repeating as well. She was hugely excited. She thought, maybe this is it. I'm now speaking in other languages. God has given me the ability to praise him in another language. Praise God. She got so excited that she rushed in and went to her husband, who right now doesn't know Jesus, but this morning we pray again as Brackley Tabernacle that he one day will. Amen. And she rushes in and says, Google what I'm about to say. Google what I'm about to say. And he's like, what? Google what I'm about to say. And so he gets Google Translate or on whatever. And she repeats the phrase that she didn't know and could have been utter gobbledygook. She repeats it to him, who is using the internet to translate what he's saying, what she's saying. Weird, you think? I don't know what the Apostle Paul would say about it. 1 Corinthians, Paul says the tongues need to be interpreted. I'm not sure. He didn't have Google at the time, so I don't know what he thinks of it. But he Googled, translated it. She repeated the phrase. He said, well, Google Translate says that you're speaking in Arabic and you're using the phrase, my peace is with you. But the other word that you're saying isn't Arabic, weirdly, it's Hebrew. And the Hebrew word that you're saying says, I am the God who hears your prayers.
Amazing.
Boom. I think she's going around now saying to her friends that she can speak Hebrew and Arabic. I'm not sure how true that is. Here's the lady who's been calling on God, coming on and keeping on coming to Jesus to receive something from him, and she finds that he's the God who hears her prayers and has given his peace. Through Google Translate, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, streams of living water, whoever. I can't even tell you the end of that story because that's not my testimony and it's not Haley's story, but needless to say that from Haley, a stream of living water has flowed that has dramatically and eternally affected others. They've known God through the living water that's flowing from Haley's life. Praise God. And when I'm saying these stories, it doesn't mean that these people that I'm mentioning are perfect people or like there's some kind of minor celebrity in our church. No, we all know how broken we are, don't we?
Yeah.
There's only one name that's above anyone else's. It's the name of Jesus. But we're saying that these are our stories. And so we'll give God thanks. I mentioned that Haley has experienced healing too. She's not the only one. There are others in our church family that have experienced dramatic and important, powerful stories of healing, psychological and physical healing over the last few weeks. We prayed here a couple of months ago for Suzanne, who had to undergo surgery in Bristol for a detached retina. Anyone remember that? And Suzanne had to go to Bristol for this operation. Whilst the operation was successful, her eyesight was not recovering brilliantly, both in vision, but particularly in pain. And anyone who knows anything about eyes know that it can take a long time to heal. Well, buoyed by what had happened in her life group, Tina, the life group leader, on a certain Saturday morning was praying to God, come, and kept on coming to Jesus, and received something from him that she knew that day that she'd have an opportunity to pray for someone for healing. She sensed it, so she was just sort of waiting for a moment. She met Suzanne, one of us, in Sainsbury's that afternoon. And as they were talking, Tina was just asking about Suzanne's eyesight, how the operation is, how it went, blah, 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 blah. And Suzanne said, I'm just still in an awful lot of pain. And so Tina said, in whatever aisle it was in Sainsbury's, I don't know, but Sainsbury's near MacArthur Glen, she said, can I pray for you? And in the aisle in Sainsbury's, she laid her hands on her and asked this Jesus, magnificent Jesus, that when we come to him, we can receive from him. And when we receive from him, he wants to flow to others. She asked this Jesus, heal her eyes, Lord, please. That afternoon was Grand Slam Sunday, Saturday. Yes, for anyone else in the room who isn't Welsh, I'll just underline that moment. Grand Slam Sunday. Martin, her husband, turned to Suzanne as they were watching the rugby show. He said, "Suzanne, how's your eye?" She said, "The pain's gone." This pain that she'd been experiencing for the last few weeks, utterly, gloriously gone. Gone. Now, we can have all the questions of like, well, why would God do that and not this? Why would God heal that but not this? All of those questions are real and legitimate, but don't stop yourself from celebrating the fact that he just did. And that if he can, he does. That if he wants to, he will. That he knows the level, the situation in our lives. There are other stories of healing, words of knowledge, God speaking through dreams, and critically important through his word, directing people, inspiring people, encouraging people just at the right time. People are finding that when they come to Jesus, whoever they are in belief, from them flows something of the greatness of God to others. One final story and then I'm done. My friend Justin told me the other day how he had been praying for those of us in this church family who struggle with issues of anxiety and depression. Justin has publicly told his story how he struggled with these realities for a number of years. Himself before being powerfully healed by Jesus, so that in that, Justin, moved with compassion, was praying for those of us in this church suffering in a similar way. By the way, just incidentally, how many people know more than two Justins in their life? Put your hands up. Anyone know more than three Justins? Anyone know more than five Justins? I say that because the name Justin isn't very familiar, is it? It's not very common. There's only one Justin in this church. Yeah. If there's another Justin, he'll have to be kept at the door. I don't know. There's only one Justin here. And so I say that just to emphasize that the name is not a hugely popular one, and you'll find out why in a moment. And so in praying, Justin sensed that God had placed some words on his mind. Not some weird supernatural thing, but two words that just kept coming to his thoughts that he wasn't necessarily thinking. And that's one of the ways that God sometimes speaks to us. That God was saying these two words, refresh and replenish. And the word replenish particularly seemed to be coming up in his mind, to fill them up, this great word replenish. This word wouldn't leave him, and Justin is walking through a reality in his life where he's listening to the voice of God and discerning and asking God, "God, what are you saying to me? Are you just saying this to me, or are you saying it for others?" Receive, flow. And so he was wondering, is this just for me? Do you want to fill me in some way? Is this for other people? Is this for the church? Should I speak to Craig about this, to ask, you know, what does Craig think about all these things, as Justin and I regularly do? He felt God told him, wait for it, to Google it. I should say this right now. There are other search engines available. But he was told, he felt to Google it. And so Justin typed, and this is the only time I will ever allow you to use phones in church. If you want to get your search engine up, and type replenish into your search engine and press search. This will come up. Ooh, by magic. Now, you might not be able to see all that particularly well, but if you had your phone and you typed in replenish, you'll see exactly what I... The word replenish, to fill something up again. To fill something up again. God wanted to fill something up again. And to help us understand the context of that, there's a little sort of contextualized sentence to help us get the meaning of the word. And it says this: he replenished Justin's glass with mineral water. Isn't that incredible? Google it. How many people know many Justins? Anyone? Anyone? He replenished Justin's glass with mineral water. Justin, like, bowled over. What on earth is happening here? And... Justin phones his wife, Rachel. Some of you will, again, Justin shared publicly that for years and for years, Justin suffered the abuse that comes from alcohol and drugs. until God miraculously intervened in his life. Miraculously. But for years, he would drink alcohol to the point of damaging himself. So when he phoned Rachel, his wife, she said, "Justin, anyone who's ever filled your glass in your life has only ever filled it with things that will harm you." He replenished Justin's glass with things that will bring him life. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
I say that this morning, you can, I guess we can just, we can think about a number of these things, but the Lord wants to replenish us. He wants to fill us. He wants to us to come to him and be filled. For those of you today who are being buoyed by these stories, I trust many of us are.
Yeah.
I want to tell you that it's for you to have a go.
Yeah.
It's for you to have a go.
Yes.
It's for you to come to Jesus and receive something from him and not do this and think, oh, this is what it's all about. But no, to give. It's for you to have a go. And if you're trying, if you want, if you're someone who's following Jesus in this room, I tell you in the name of Jesus, go and have a go. Lay your hands on the sick. Proclaim the goodness of God. Enter into people's walks and lives. Do it in the name of Jesus. If you follow Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit with you. Receive from him and then go and do it. Do it in Jesus' name. Receiving and then giving. Go and have a go. It isn't for some super Christians or some super men or women. It is for those who wear their underwear on the inside. It isn't like supermen that we wear our pants on the outside. No, it's men and women, whoever believes. Whoever believes. I want our expectation to rise. I want our faith to rise. I want us to banish skepticism and cynicism and criticism for the life of Bracknell Tabernacle forever and replace it with unadulterated celebration. Celebration on the Feast of Tabernacles must be better and bigger and stronger than the struggle of the journey and the doubt in our heart and the criticism of our lips. You can choose to think of some of these stories and think, well, coincidence there, just maybe something there, whatever it was there, a bit of weirdness. You can choose to be, you can choose that, that's up to you. I choose to celebrate the goodness of God in the land of the living. Choose to. I choose to celebrate what God's doing amongst us. I can look around and find reason to be critical of lots of things, but I'm going to choose that celebration will always be bigger and better than anything critical or cynical in my life or in this church. Yes. I'm going to choose to celebrate. You choose whatever you want, but I'm choosing celebration.
Yes.
I find it to be thrilling and filling in my life more than anything else. So come, all who are thirsty. This is what is happening, friends. Over the last couple of weeks, 8 people have confessed Jesus as their Savior. People are being healed. I haven't even told you those stories. Lives and families are being restored. This is no perfect church, but we are beginning to increasingly become a place, a community, a family where God is known. So come, all who are thirsty. Come to Jesus.